Welcome to another Marvel podcast. I'm your host, Drew Gretsch. And today, the main topic of the show, reviewing Deadpool 2. Can't wait to talk about Deadpool 2. Love this movie. But there has been a massive, massive shakeup. It's very good. Very good. There's a wrench that's been thrown into the Marvel multiverse storm of what is and is not canon. Shouldn't talk about it. This is the only piece of news we're talking about. Actually, no, let's talk about some other little bit of news. Owen Wilson's confirmed that he is returning for Loki season 2. That is awesome. Can't wait to see some more Mobius. I think we all expected that. I think we all expected to see Owen Wilson come back. But yeah, we've got some news about Moon Knight. There was an image that came out today on Empire Magazine. And oh man. Mr. Knight is going to be in this show. Mr. Knight, which is, I'm not sure that, I really don't know that much about Moon Knight. I gotta read up on some Moon Knight, guys. I need to do that before this show premieres, but this image looks awesome. Cannot wait to see the show next month. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Kevin Feige says that Moon Knight is brutal, and we're not holding back. So I'm just going to find the actual quote from Feige the Great and Powerful right here. He's brutal, Feige told Empire, citing the streaming service as a space to expand what an MC story can be. It's been fun to work with Disney Plus and see the boundaries shifting on what we're able to do. There are moments in the series where Moon Knight is wailing on another character, and it is loud and brutal, and the knee-jerk reaction is, we're going to pull back on this, right? No, we're not pulling back. There's a tonal shift. This is a different thing. This is Moon Knight. Yeah, I really think this is going to be a show that tells us, that really shows us what the MCU, how dark can the MCU go moving forward. They're doing Moon Knight true to the comics, and they're putting it on Disney Plus, which is awesome. I'm really hoping it's not going to be, like, I want to see every punch be landed. Show us every punch land. That's going to be great. It's going to be great. Oscar Isaac, who's the main star of the show, of course, he's playing Steven, he's playing Mark Spector. How many different personalities is he playing? He's playing, just look at the cast here on IMDb. He is playing, Stephen Grant, I think that's the main one that we saw in that trailer. Of course, playing Mark Spector and Moon Knight as well. But Mark Spector is Moon Knight, so yeah. It is a limited series. It is only going to be 6 episodes. I'm not sure how to feel about this. I really want to see, what I wanted to see was these characters, like Ms. Marvel, Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Ironheart, I guess Echo as well, that are being introduced in TV. And I don't know that Echo's, or not Echo, she's been introduced in Hawkeye already, and Ironheart's going to be in Black Panther 2, that we're also going to see them in, instead of getting a trilogy of films, you get 3 seasons of a show on Disney Plus. And I think that could happen with some characters. Like, I think She-Hulk, that is more likely. So we'll see what happens there. We shall see, to quote Snoke. Which, speaking of Star Wars, actually, I'm just going to do a quick plug here. The Book of Boba Fett finale was this week. All episodes of our coverage are now up on the Tusken Radio podcast feed. So if you guys watch The Book of Boba Fett, you can go and check that out. Whew, man. Let's get to the big news. Let's get to the big news. Everything's leaving Netflix. Everything is leaving Netflix. It was announced today, I'm recording this one day late on Saturday, so sorry about that, guys. It was announced today that, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was leaving Netflix. That's something we all knew was going to happen for a while. It's a licensed show. That's probably going over to Disney Plus, right? It's leaving on February 28th. Looking at some of the more Lego things, I'm just looking through here on what's leaving. Marvel Superhero Adventures Frostfight is leaving February 23rd. Looking through here to see what other Marvel things are going to be gone. Marvel's Hulk, Where Monsters Dwell, an animated film, is leaving on February 28th. But the big thing here everybody's talking about is the fact that on February 28th, the following shows are leaving Netflix. Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, The Defenders, and The Punisher. This is huge because these shows are Netflix originals. These are Netflix original shows. Like, even though all the character rights have been back with Disney for at least the last year, hence, you know, Matt Murdock appeared in Spider-Man No Way Home, Wilson Fisk appeared in Hawkeye, no one really expected these shows to ever leave Netflix because they were financed by Netflix. They were produced by Netflix. They were, like, everything about these shows were Netflix. And they're leaving. They're leaving. Now, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and this Marvel's Hulk, Where Monsters Dwell, I think it's pretty obvious that those are going to Disney Plus. You know, you can look at Disney Plus worldwide. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is there, you know. It's TV-14. That's where S.H.I.E.L.D. will be going. So when it gets to Disney Plus, guys, you should watch S.H.I.E.L.D. It's really good, and we will absolutely, of course, be covering Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Sometime soon. Sometime soon we will, without a doubt, be covering that. But with the Netflix stuff that leaves a question where you have... Now, there was a Disney investor call this week. In that investor call, CEO Bob Chapek said, and I'm paraphrasing here, we are looking to expand more general entertainment onto the Disney Plus service. Meaning, we'll see some more things that are maybe R-rated. You know, I think Moon Knight's really going to be testing the, like, pushing that boundary there. Moon Knight's going to be pushing that boundary. So, it's kind of a toss-up right now. I'd say if I had to put money on it, all six of these shows will be streaming on Hulu. That's fine. Because, look, here's what happens then. I mean, A, in a few years, I think it might be 2 or 3 years from now, that's when Disney will fully own Hulu, and they'll be integrating it into Disney Plus. I think they're going to be shutting that service down. They've already done that worldwide with... or internationally with Star. So, like, if you don't live in the U.S., this does not apply to you. All of the shows will be on Disney Plus in March if you are not in the U.S. Which is awesome for you guys. You'll get to watch Daredevil and The Punisher and Jessica Jones on Disney Plus for you. That's great. But here in the U.S., it's going to take a bit of time because... It's going to be a bit before Disney can shut down Hulu and merge all that content over to the main Disney Plus service. But in the meantime, what can be cool is, you know, they tried to do this a couple of years ago with Hellstrom, and it didn't really work out just because all the shows were canceled. But maybe when these shows do go up to Hulu... Hulu could see some of their biggest, like, trafficking ever on that site. And there's going to be a lot of people that watch these shows on Hulu. A lot of people are going to watch these Defender shows. So what we can see then is, maybe Chapek and the higher-ups at Disney just see how well these shows are doing there. And they're like, hey... Kevin Feige, you guys can make R-rated content for Hulu. And you can have that be fully connected within the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And then, like, we could get, like, MCU Max. I'm honestly wondering if maybe this is why Moon Knight is a miniseries. You know? If this doesn't really go so well, then they'll do Moon Knight Season 2 over on Disney+. But if it does do well, we could see a sequel series to Moon Knight that is a lot darker. Because, look, Moon Knight, I believe, is going to go pretty dark. But it's still going to be TV-14. It's still going to be PG-13. It's going to be dark. It's going to be gritty. It's going to be violent. But it's going to be PG-13 violence. Which you can go pretty far with. You can go pretty far with PG-13 violence. Like, all you have to really... Like, in terms of violence... Like, you can't show, like... You can show a lot. Just really just no blood. It's really just, like... You can't have an excessive amount of blood. But... Here... It's gonna be quite interesting to see when these shows do go live on other services, and if that does mean are Disney removing like everything that's there on Netflix? Seeing this, if we just go over to Netflix, and I'm just gonna type in Disney, and then this is just US Netflix, but let's just see if everything Disney. So looking at the BFG, February 28th, Sophia the First doesn't say, Bunked doesn't say, this Disney Nature thing, Expedition China, February 28th, Disney Nature Ghost of the Mountains, February 28th, looks like they're pulling everything that they own off of Netflix beginning February 28th, and all of it's going to go over to Disney Plus. I think the most exciting of those things for Marvel fans would indeed be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, look, the Netflix stuff too, that'll be on Hulu. I think we're going to get an announcement here really soon as to where these shows are going. Don't expect them to go to Disney+. Don't expect it to happen with the Daredevil-related series. Expect those to go to Hulu, and that will probably be announced when Disney's like, here's what's coming in March of 2022 to Disney Plus and to Hulu. But yeah, it's going to be great, especially with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. here. A lot of people theorizing that that's going to be what happened. Like, that we're going to see a lot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. characters return in Secret Invasion. I don't know if any S.H.I.E.L.D. characters are going to be in that series. I wouldn't expect it. I wouldn't expect that to happen, but it's possible. Anything's possible in the multiverse. But yeah, I am really excited to see what happens with all of these series that are now leaving Netflix. And most of them being Netflix originals. These are mostly Netflix originals that are leaving. So if we can just look right here at the full list. What about Grey's Anatomy? What's up with Grey's Anatomy? Because that is an ABC series. It's an ABC show. All right, so it doesn't not say that Grey's Anatomy is leaving. But when it does leave, eventually, hopefully that show ends soon, it will go to Disney+. So... It's really, I think, very much a gray area right now as to what's up with all these shows. What about The Walking Dead? Walking Dead still there? Because Walking Dead, I believe, internationally is distributed by Disney. So, like, if you're in the UK, that's where you can watch The Walking Dead is on Disney+. But I truly don't think I've ever been more excited and in anticipation of a coming to Disney Plus next month announcement. You know? And just seeing... At the very least of seeing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on that list. Of upcoming television shows. I mean, they just added Here in the U.S., they just added Blackish, Grownish, Summer of Soul. So things that are, you know, still TV-14, PG-13, but deal with darker themes. You know, they just added a documentary about the last American slave ship. You know, so it's clearly going beyond stuff that is, you know, good old Disney fun for the whole family. We're moving beyond that now in what we can see on the Disney Plus service. And I'm really excited to see that, like, how they manage. I mean, like, they've already got a great, like, I mean, parental control system over worldwide where they have Star. And I'm sure without a doubt that will be implemented here in the United States as well. So I just can't wait to see it. And, you know, Disney, they got a really interesting streaming deal right now with HBO Max. Because a lot of movies that are being distributed by 20th Century Studios, like this Friday, The King's Man is going to be streaming both on Hulu and on HBO Max. So we're going to see these are films, like, exclusivity for new films being shared across studios. West Side Story, which was absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful film from last year. It's my second favorite movie of the year. First is A Quiet Place Part 2. Yes, No Way Home is my number three. No Way Home is my number three. But my top two were Quiet Place Part 2 and West Side Story. West Side Story is going to be on Disney Plus March 2nd. That's also the same day it's going to be streaming up on HBO Max. So it's super, super interesting to see just how the streaming landscape will move forward. You know, where studios, like Disney has bought out the rights to Netflix original series. I'm assuming, because they're Netflix original shows. Again, financed by Netflix, distributed by Netflix. They should not have ever left the service. So, we shall see it once again, we shall see. I totally forgot about the Oscars. Oscar nominations are out, guys. You probably saw this, but Oscar nominations are out, and two Marvel films were nominated for Oscars in the same category. Both Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings and Spider-Man No Way Home have been nominated for Best Visual Effects. To almost everyone, not myself and not a lot of other people, but to a lot of people's dismay and surprise, No Way Home was not nominated for Best Picture. I never thought No Way Home was going to be nominated for Best Picture. I thought there was maybe a slim chance it could get an honorable mention for saving movie theaters. I mean, I personally would have nominated No Way Home above Don't Look Up. I did not like Don't Look Up. But and even if No Way Home was nominated for Best Picture, which it's not, it would never have won. It would never have won. If No Way Home was nominated for Best Picture, that would have been an honorable mention only. It would have been an honorable mention, and that's about it. So, if we look here at the 2022 Oscars, we can see what it's up against. And it is not the nominees. Best visual effects. It's up. So Shang-Chi and No Way Home are both up against Dune, Free Guy, and No Time to Die. I'm telling you guys right now, Dune is going to win this one. Dune is going to win all of the tech stuff. Dune is going to win all the tech stuff. Like, Dune is going to be winning, let's see, best visual effects. It's going to be winning best costumes, best editing, best makeup and hairstyling, best cinematography, best sound, best production design. There was not an original song. I really want Dune to win best original score. Dune has one of the most original and unique soundtracks I've ever heard. And Hans Zimmer deserves the recognition for that. Dune is going to win. Let's see what else it's nominated for. I think Dune is absolutely going to win Best Adapted Screenplay. Because just due to the sheer density of that novel and how it was adapted into a film. And it's just the first half of the film. We have part two coming out next year. So, yeah. Dune was also nominated for Best Picture. Which I don't think it's going to win. Because usually you can look at the Best Director category. And that will tell you... it's going to be one of those that wins Best Picture. So there are 10 nominees for Best Picture. But there are really only 5. Belfast, Drive My Car, Licorice Pizza, The Power of the Dog, and West Side Story. You know, Nightmare Alley is not going to win. King Richard's not going to win. Dune is not going to win Best Picture. Don't Look Up, Thank God's not going to Best Picture. And neither is Coda. So, yeah. But in the Best Actor category, we have 2 actors who were in No Way Home. Not nominated for No Way Home, but Benedict Cumberbatch was nominated for Best Picture as Phil Burbank in The Power of the Dog, which is streaming on Netflix. And also streaming on Netflix, and both of these are staying on Netflix. Andrew Garfield as Jonathan Larson in Tick, Tick, Boom. I'd love to see Andrew Garfield get an Oscar, but if I had to say... probably going to Will Smith or Denzel, because Will Smith turns in one of the greatest performances of his life in King Richard, and Denzel Washington does the same in Tragedy of Macbeth. So, yeah. Oh, you know, Best Supporting Actor, we have J.K. Simmons. I'm just going through the Marvel people. J.K. Simmons as William Frawley in Being the Ricardos. Kirsten Dunst, who's not in the MCU, but now, because of multiverse things, she's a part of the MCM. Kirsten Dunst as Rose Gordon in Power of the Dog. Upcoming in the MCU, Olivia Colman, I believe. She is joining the MCU, right? I believe she's in Secret Invasion. Just scrolling through Wikipedia. Yes, she is in Secret Invasion. So yeah, upcoming MCU star... was nominated for Best Actress as Lita Caruso in The Lost Daughter. And then, as much as we all want to forget this movie, Jessica Chastain was a part of X-Men Dark Phoenix, now streaming on Disney Plus. She's been nominated for Best Actress as Tommy Faye Baker in The Eyes of Tammy Faye, which is streaming on HBO Max. And I have not seen yet, but I'm absolutely going to. So yeah, Oscars this year, even though Marvel is only officially recognized in one category, and that's visual effects, but people who have worked on Marvel films are everywhere in this year's Oscars. So that's great. Okay. Let's talk about Deadpool 2. Deadpool 2, now streaming on Hulu. So Deadpool 2 is, surprise, surprise, a sequel to Deadpool 1. I don't know why I said that, but I did. Deadpool is just, it's just him being Deadpool again. It's really just Deadpool being Deadpool again. I loved the intro for this movie. I love the intro to this movie. I cannot tell you guys. Oh, and by the way, the rest of this podcast is going to be rated R. Because Deadpool, the movie, is rated R. So Deadpool 2, it's going to be more of a rated R thing. I'm trying to not be rated R, though. I don't like to curse on the podcast. But I love the line so much. Where I cannot tell you guys how many times I quote, "Donde está la biblioteca," which literally translates to, "I don't bargain, pumpkin fucker." Like, I love that line so much. It's so funny. It's so funny. It gets me every time. I think one of my favorite scenes in this movie, though, is when he's just, like, walking around the X-Mansion. He's like, "Where is everybody?" It's always just you and Negasonic Teenage Longest Name ever. And then he's, like, talking about the X-Men. There's just a shot of, like, all the X-Men. And it's great. Who's all in that shell? Let's just see. I'm just going to pull up on IMDb here. But that's so funny. Thinking Cicero, they got them all in their just cameo for one scene. It is hysterical. So who is actually there? We got IMDb. Be helpful, please, just for once. All right, so we have, Beast, we have Xavier, we have Quicksilver, or as I call him, Ralph Boner, we have Cyclops, we have Storm, we have Nightcrawler, is that it? Yeah, that's it. But yeah, I thought that was just super, super funny. I loved that a whole lot. There are a fair number of actors in this movie are joining the MCU very, very soon. So I think it's super exciting. We're going to be seeing certain actors pop up in the MCU. You guys have probably heard these rumors, but if you haven't, I don't want to go into them. You can look them up for yourself. Yeah, I really do just love everything about this movie. And it brings up another thing of, like, time travel and that idea. Especially because this is now a what-if. This is a part of the Marvel multiverse. I think what we really have to do is just look at time travel as the only way to do it properly and jump into a different universe, like how they've set it up in Endgame and in Loki, is you have to use the quantum realm. In order to create a branch reality, you have to use the quantum realm. Or else it just doesn't work. Or it does work, as is evident by Deadpool 2 and by Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and X-Men Days of Future Past. Is you just need to have... It's just like... That's more traditional, where it just messes with the future. It really does just mess with the future. So... I think it's just that, really. Is that's how the time travel works. I don't really like the end of the movie where I love the credit scene where he's jumping through time and everything. I think that's hysterical. It's hysterical. And it's hard to talk about this movie without, like, it's a comedy. So it's hard to talk about it. As we're just like, this joke was funny. This joke was not funny. But the whole sequence where he's jumping through time at the end, and he saves Vanessa. I understand why he did that, but that undoes the entire film. That undoes the entirety of the film. Okay? And why does, at the end of the movie, why does Cable stay there? Like, I understand why, from, like, a storytelling perspective, but in terms of the logic set up by the film itself, he should have been sent back immediately. Like, that's how it should have worked. It should have been like it. He never had to come back in time. So yeah, and it's just a small plot hole. It's fine. And kind of undoes the whole movie, though, that Wade saves Vanessa. Kind of undoes the whole thing. I love that he killed Ryan Reynolds as he was reading the script for Green Lantern. I thought that was absolutely hysterical. I loved, we just like went back to X-Men Origins and just killed that Deadpool. It's like, hi, I'm just cleaning up the timelines. That was absolutely amazing. That was fantastic. What else? There's a lot in this movie that I really do love. And it just, how are they going to bring in Deadpool moving forward? I personally think they're going to be doing it in the Multiverse of Madness movie, in Doctor Strange 2. That's how it's going to happen. Which, by the way, I think we're probably going to be getting a trailer here in tomorrow. We'll be getting maybe a 30-second spot in Super Bowl. Probably get a 30-second spot in the Super Bowl for Multiverse of Madness, because they usually do that. They typically do that. That'd be great. That would be really great to see 30-second spot for Multiverse of Madness. But, you know, Kevin Feige doesn't seem like the kind of person just, like, put Deadpool as he is now into the MCU, but have it be a rebooted version. He's going to have it make sense. And I think we're going to see Deadpool in this movie. I really do believe we're going to be seeing Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool in this movie. Now, in terms of other X-Men, I don't know. Well, I do know about some of them. But we'll find out on Thursday, May 5th. I guys, just cannot wait for Multiverse of Madness to come out. All of it. But I got to get back to talking about Deadpool 2. In terms of character work, I really love all the characters in this movie. I think it's great. I think it's really, really great. One of my favorite parts is it's just the whole X-Force scene. It might be one of my favorite scenes in the entirety of the X-Men cinematic universe. Of all 13 films, that might be one of my favorite scenes. Because you just have, like, it sets up this whole team and how badass they are. They're so awesome. They do this great skydive scene. And they all get massacred. They all die immediately. That's hysterical. I thought that was absolutely hysterical. So, I thought that was great. I'm sorry, I just thought that was really, really, really funny to see that. This is a movie where I don't have a ton of notes because I just want to turn my brain off and watch a Deadpool movie. So you know what I did? I turned my brain off and I watched a Deadpool movie. Which I love you can have movies like this. Like Deadpool. I'm really glad that we know that he's like going to maintain this integrity that Deadpool has to have in a Deadpool story. I believe that's such an important part of the character is how he breaks the fourth wall. And I know that we're going to be seeing that in She-Hulk. But I hope it's just She-Hulk. Like, this series, the Deadpool series, particularly the first movie, there's one scene toward the beginning of the film where, and I think I'll talk about this, where you have Deadpool talking to the camera, and then Colossus goes, "You know I can hear you, right?" And then Wade responds with, "Wasn't talking to you, it's talking to them." So it's like they hear him breaking the fourth wall. They just ignore it. They just ignore it. And I really hope that's what they continue in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Because there are a lot of rumors out there that Matt Murdock's going to be appearing in She-Hulk. I can confirm those. That is what I've heard as well, that he's going to cameo in that series. Did I say that on the podcast before? It doesn't matter. I'm saying it now. But I don't want Daredevil to be breaking the fourth wall with She-Hulk. This should just be She-Hulk's thing, if that makes sense. And I think this right here really does, Deadpool and Deadpool 2 really do establish how you can break the fourth wall and have it be contained and maintain a sense of, like, I guess maybe seriousness? That doesn't sound like the right word, though. But you can maintain the sense of integrity within your cinematic universe with fourth wall breaks from one or two select characters. So, yeah, I just don't really have that much to say on Deadpool 2. I love this movie. It's a lot of fun. Really cannot wait to see Deadpool 3. I believe that's 2024, because Deadpool 3, Ryan Reynolds said, there's a 70% chance that they shoot this year. That, like, they start filming Deadpool 3 this year, which I think is awesome. I think that's super awesome. We're seeing so many, like, R-rated things in the MCU coming soon. Like, Moon Knight is next month. Deadpool 3, Blade. I hope Blade is going to be rated R. What else? Is that it for, like, for rated R things? If we get that Daredevil reboot, which, by the way, we're going back to the whole Netflix thing. We know that there's going to be a, like, in the Echo series, that's going to, like, help set up a Daredevil solo project. I think it's definitely now that is a show. I always believed that was a show. But that doesn't have to be a reboot now. They can do a season 4 and call it season 4. And I really hope that they bring back the creators. That, to me, is the most important part. You got to bring back the creators. You got to bring back that core cast. That core cast of Charlie Cox, of Vincent D'Onofrio, Deborah Ann Woll, Eldon Henson. You got to have them in there. Give us Nelson and Murdoch and Paige. Please, please do that. Give us season 4, 13 episodes, not 6. Don't give us 6. If you're not going to do 13, you got to at least do 10. I think, and I've said this before, these Netflix shows, I mean, some of them work with less than 13 episodes. Like, Luke Cage would have been better with 10. I think Luke Cage with 8, season 1 with 8 episodes would have been great. But, yeah, just, I'm excited, guys. I'm super excited. So next week's podcast is going to be X-Men First Class. If there are any trailers tomorrow for the Super Bowl, I'm thinking it's either going to be like Moon Knight thing or Multiverse of Madness thing. I'm going to be recording those. Yeah, it's all coming together and it's all going to be awesome. I hope. But yeah, there will be podcasts breaking down Super Bowl trailers. So yeah, thank you guys just so much for listening. I'm Drew Gretsch. See you.